The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
I ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Last week we started a new series and we're talking about prayer, and we're using Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3. And we talked last week about how we need to be able to come to God boldly and plainly speaking to Him what's on our heart, having the understanding and having the confidence that He hears us and that He's going to give us, He's going to answer our prayers and give us what we wish for and what we need. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more here. But first, let me pray. Father, we do praise You. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be bowed to You as we hear Your word. Father, for me, I pray, first of all, Lord, that You keep my voice where it needs to be. I've been struggling this week, and it's humbled me a little bit, which is what I needed. But Lord, I just pray that You would open our minds and our hearts to what the Holy Spirit's telling us. Lord, without You and Him, these are just words. But with the Holy Spirit, these words are power. These words are true. These words will change us if we take them in, if we hear them with our minds and we hear them with our hearts. So that's our prayer today, Father. Change us, move us, make us more like You as we listen to Your word, and we pray this in Your name. Amen. As we're going through the book of the third chapter of Ephesians, what we do is as we come to the end of this prayer that Paul is praying, we find this pretty amazing statement. And so we're going to, for a moment, and throughout the rest of the series, I'm going to keep referencing this, but I want us to jump down to verse 20 and look at 20 and 21. This is a praise, again, I'll talk more about it, but this is a praise that because of what Paul is praying, he can't help but praise God. And here's what he says. He says, now to Him, who's God, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power of the work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I love that. He is praising, he's praying, but he's praising God in his prayer, saying that what is going on, what You're doing, God, the work You're doing in us is so amazing, and that You can do so much more than we could ever imagine, and that Christ may be praised. God is able to do more than I could think or I could ask. Now, I want us to think about prayer. I want us to get motivated as we're going through this series. I want us to get excited about prayer. I want it to be on our minds at all times. And when we begin our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want us to set our minds on seeking God. I mean, the songs we sang this morning so far is, you know, are about seeking God, being in His presence. I want us to feel that. I want us to be excited about it. I want us to look back at this time in the church, in the life of the church, in the life of us, that we look back and we say, that was it. That was that moment when we really started focusing on prayer. That is when things started to change. That is when my life didn't get easier. In fact, it may have gotten a little harder, but boy, did it get better. That the life of the church changed, that we were a different church at that time. At that time it changed everything. That's what I want. That's my prayer for us. Because see, if we do that, it's gonna be a good thing, not just for this church, but for our lives, for our families, for the communities that we live in. It's gonna change everything. If we focus on prayer, if we seek God, I want us to become energized to pray and to seek His face, because I want to see God doing more than we could ever ask for or more than we could ever imagine. Now, as we go through Ephesians 3, I would suggest that you start making a list. of the things that you're praying for. What are those things that you're praying for that only God can do? And I want you to make that list, and I want you to continue to pray for them. And then when God answers that prayer, I want you to share it with me. Either on a card, or you can go online to the website, and or if you have the app, you can go to the app and ask for a prayer request. But put it in there. What did, where did God move? Because the reason why I want to know that, I mean, I love that you send prayer requests in and we pray for you. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But I want to see God moving, and I want to see God doing amazing things in your lives. So if you share that with me, and we don't have to share your name, you know, I mean, I'll know your name, but we don't have to share it with the congregation. But I think though everybody needs to know, see, God is moving. We spend all our lives and things happen in our lives, and God does move in our lives, but we don't tell anybody. They don't get to share in that joy of seeing God move. And what it does is it encourages other people to pray more because God moves. He does move. And in our, I don't know about you, but in our world today, I think we need to see God moving a lot more. A lot more. So that's what I ask you to do. Write down your prayers. When they get answered, send me a quick note. Like I say, either email, text, website. You can go and you can do a prayer request. You can fill it out on the cards here. Or you, if you have the app. If you don't have the church app, you can download it if you have your smartphone. And on there, there's a place you can leave a prayer request. See, I think a lot of times why we don't see our prayers being answered, a lot of times is because we're apprehensive. We come to God and we say, you know, God, I know you say you answer prayers, and we praise you for that. You know, last week we talked about you need to come boldly, but we don't do that. But we know that he answers our prayers because of our faith in him and the work he's doing inside of us. But we're apprehensive because we think, you know, man, I just screwed up this week. Man, I have people that I said something that I shouldn't have. And I screwed up. So God didn't move this week, and I just don't feel like I can come to him. Well, first of all, scripture tells you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to leave your things at the altar, and you're supposed to go to him, the person you hurt, and you're supposed to reconcile, which means you need to say you're sorry. I'm constantly telling my kids, say you're sorry, and mean it. We need to say we're sorry to each other when we make a mistake. But even more so, we're so apprehensive about it, we look and we think, well, you know, well, God, I screwed up again. Well, I want to be honest with you. I want to tell you something that kind of hit me this week. God is not disappointed in you because he expected you to screw up even more. Now, how can I say that? Because he knows us. He knows us. Now, we have free will, so we are going to make mistakes. But he expects a lot worse. Look, I was just talking to Teddy about Kings, the book of Kings. He's reading the book of Kings. And bad king, bad king, bad king, maybe a good king, bad king, bad king, bad king. God wasn't surprised because he knows we're that type of people. We're going to make mistakes. He's not disappointed in you. He loves you. I know that my kids are going to mess up. I know it. Does it make me sad? Sure. But I also know they're going to learn from it. God loves you. He knows you're going to learn from your mistakes. He's not disappointed in you. In fact, he loves it because what are you doing? You're coming to him and you're resting in him. Lord, I screwed up this week. I tried to do this on my own. I need you to do it with me. He's like, great. Now we can get something accomplished. We surrendered to him. He is not disappointed in you. We can still boldly come into his presence. We can be in his presence. We can have joy in his presence, knowing that he loves me. And it doesn't matter what I've done. I can go to him. He wants me to go and reconcile with my brother. But I can also go to God and say, God, I'm sorry I did this. Forgive me. Help me. Come in. And more of you, less of me. Because, man, more of me is not good. And he's good. He's happy with that. See, we can have this confidence because God loves you. God hears you. He's going to answer you. He wants to give us good things. We can have confidence that God has the power to help us. You know, if I've got issues and I'm doing things I'm not supposed to, I'm making mistakes, saying things I shouldn't say, and I go to God, I say, God, I need you. I'm going to surrender this to you. You help me do this. He's got the power to do that. He has the power to move mountains. He has the power to create life. Why would I not have confidence in a God like that? I need to have lots of confidence in him. And it's not misplaced. It's true confidence. Because see, when I'm in his presence, when I'm praying for him, I know that when I leave that place and we go out of it, we come into it boldly, where they're going to go out of it boldly, trusting that God is going to do the work, the good work in me. I know what he can do. I know him. He knows me. And I know that he's leading me. And it's against this backdrop that Paul continues in Ephesians 3. Look at verse 14 through 16. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Wow, a lot in there. Now, we gotta look, for what reason? So Paul says, for this reason. Well, the reason is because we can come to God in boldness and confidence. For this reason, we can come into the presence of God. Paul says he bows his knees. He prays before God, the creator of all of us, according to God's glorious riches. So here we have three basics of powerful prayer. Here they are. First one is reverence. Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees. Paul is confident as he's praying and when he's praying. You know, there was a time when in my life, especially in the church I grew up in, when coming to this altar right here was a big deal. When you came to the altar, you were doing business. It's not that way anymore. And I'm okay with that. Because I'll be honest with you, I would rather have 10 people in this church with their hearts bowed to God than 1,000 people at this altar who are distracted and whose hearts are not bowed to God. It's not about the altar, it's about the heart. Now, I say that, and I want you to understand, that doesn't give you an excuse not to come to the altar if that's what you need to stay focused on God. Because I'll be honest with you, there are times in my prayer where I am, my prayer life, where I am talking to God and all of a sudden I get distracted. I start thinking about my back hurting, or I start thinking about the problems I have to deal with tomorrow. I start thinking about the things I need to do tonight. I start thinking about my next sermon. I start thinking about what I got to do at the house. And it's easy to get distracted. So what Paul is saying is, I bow my knees because I need to bow at my knees and I need to focus on you. Whatever it takes to focus on God. This is one reason why we're asking that when we start the fasting time, the 21 days of prayers and fasting, that you take some time to fast, one meal a day. And during that time, you focus on God. You seek him. Now that may mean you're reading your scripture. It may mean you find a quiet place in your car. Just don't fall asleep. I've done that too. I've been sitting there praying and, whoa, wait a minute. I start to nod off. We need to focus on God. So Paul's saying, I bow my knees to you. The Jewish tradition was not to kneel. They didn't kneel. They stood. We know this because if we go to Luke chapter 18, we get the story of the Pharisee and the beggar, and they're both standing in the church, in the synagogue. It says the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. This was normal. This was how it was done. See, the Bible does not give us specific physical directions. You know, when you pray, pray like this, with your knees down at 45 degree angle, whatever. But what it does tell you is our hearts need to be focused on Him. That's the key. That is the key. So first, there needs to be this earnestness. And Paul's posture is what's showing that. We need to be sincere, this sincere and intensive conviction. And that's why Paul is bowing on his knees. At the core, he believes that God is there and he's worthy of the worship that he's giving him. In Philippians 3:3, it says, "For we are his circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." We put no confidence in the, I don't know about you. I have no confidence in this. Because it has failed me a lot. It has failed me. And I'm not talking just about my physical. I'm talking about my mental, my emotional. In my humanness, it has failed me. And it fails all of you. I put no confidence in it. I put my confidence in Jesus Christ, who is in me, the Holy Spirit working through me. Without that, I am lost. So we put no confidence in the flesh, but we bow to God reverently. We get this idea from Paul of this humble dependence that he has. Throughout his writings, it's in there all over about this fact that Paul was, he needed to be humbled in order for him to be dependent upon God. We know about the thorn in his side, the three times he prayed, and that he knew it was there to humble him. We all struggle, you know, with our tension. We all struggle in prayer. But the worst thing is there is a prayer that doesn't get prayed. And we don't want that. Paul was a man just like us. He was human. He made mistakes. He struggled in prayer. I'm sure there are times he prayed and it didn't quite pass the test. I'm sure there were times. But right here he is saying, I bow my knee to you. I am focused on you. Why? Because we can come to you in boldness, knowing that you hear us. He gets on his knees with God in reverence because this is what he wants for the church. He wants the church to know, bow your hearts, bow your knees to God reverently. That's the fundamental for powerful prayer, is to approach God humbly, boldly, yet humbly in reverence, with our hearts focused on him. If I'm at home and my kids come up to me and I'm on my cell phone looking, whatever I'm doing, checking Facebook, and they come up to me and ask me a question, and I don't put my phone down and give them my full attention, how offensive is that? We need to be humbly, earnestly going to God and giving him our full attention. So we bow our knees and we bow our hearts. See, it's this humbling of ourselves. That's where we say, there's nothing else that's important to us but you, God, right now. Paul's saying there's nothing else more important than you. What I'm doing here is the most important thing. Right now, he desperately needs God. And there are times you and I, we desperately need God. So he's going to dial into God and seek him with his whole heart. You know, there are times in the church where we are talking with people, we're talking with each other, and one of us will sit there and say, you know, yeah, I've been struggling this week, Pastor, I've been struggling with this week, you know, whatever your name is. We've got issues. I'm having a hard time at work. And what do we say? We say, yeah, I understand. I'll pray for you. Do we? What we should do is, at that moment, we know that that person needs God. They need it right now. We should stop where we are, and we should pray for them right there, right now. That's what Paul's saying. I bow my heart. I need it now. And so he does it. We need to do that with each other. We need to bow our hearts to each other in prayer at that moment. If it's in the center of the sanctuary, when everything else is going on, it's in the center of the sanctuary. If it's in the center of the mall, if it's in the center of the grocery store, it's at the bank, I don't care where it is. We need to stop and we need to pray for each other at that moment. They need to hear us pray. Listen, and if you can't be with somebody, call somebody. Call me on the phone. I'll pray with you over the phone. When somebody tells you there's something going on in their lives, they need God at that moment. Pray with them. Bow your heart. Maybe even bow your knee. Now, if I bow my knee, you're going to help me up. Because again, this flesh fails me. But that is what Paul is talking about. This earnest need for God and for his presence to be felt. The second fundamental that Paul talks about is a relationship. Look at that. In verse 14 through 15. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I want you to imagine what it was like for the disciples when they heard Jesus pray. And this is not something that normally happened. People prayed in the synagogue. People prayed in the temple. But it didn't happen out on the street normally. And here Jesus is praying. It would be amazing. Wouldn't it be amazing to hear Jesus pray? Wow. So as they're watching him and they're looking at the frequency of how often he prayed, because it was all the time, they witness this passion that he has in prayer. And in that passion, they're sitting there and they understand that there's something different. There's something secret about what Jesus is doing. Something secret that he does when he prays. They're witnessing this passion. But they also understand that it's not about his miracles. It's not his power of his miracles that he can do. There's something else. It's just not just his teaching. It's not even his love. There's this secret power in his prayer. Jesus knows how to pray. And he lives such a powerful life, it shows. And they want it. They want to see it. They want to know how to have that same prayer life. And this is what they ask in Luke 11, 1. It says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And so there, now think about this. He is in a certain place, don't know where it is, and he's praying, and they're watching him. How did that feel? Imagine everybody watching you pray. But they're watching him. And what do? One of his disciples, we don't know who it is, said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. See, they recognize this power of prayer in the life of their teacher and they want something for themselves. So what does Jesus say to them? In verse 2 he says, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father. Father. They didn't normally, Jews didn't normally pray to God as Father. They called him Yahweh. Jehovah. They did not call him Father. So Jesus is switching their paradigm in a major way. He's saying, pray Father. Why? Why would he tell them Father? Because God is not far off, uncaring, distant entity. He is your Father. If I hear my kids call me, I come. I come close to them. You're praying to the Father. The Father who pulls you up on his lap and says, son, what do you need? Or it was my child, I call him Bub all the time because my dad called me Bub all the time. It's your fault. It's your fault I call my son Bub. I just realized that. It's a good thing, though. I love it. I call him Bubby. So you need Bubby. I don't turn him away. There's this connectedness with relationship. This is why it's important. You know, people who don't have a relationship with God and say, well, I'll pray for you. That's empty. It doesn't mean anything. But we have this relationship with God. He sits us on his lap. He isn't on his cell phone checking Facebook or watching funny dog videos. He's focused on us. So Jesus says, pray to the Father. Jesus prayed, because he prayed, he knew God's will. People say, well, how do I know God's will? Well, if you talk to God, you'll figure it out. If you don't talk to God, you'll do your own will. But Jesus says, talk to him. Call him your Father. Get close to him. Jesus saw God as loving, not indifferent. He saw him as that loving Father. He saw him as loving and generous and kind, long-suffering, patient, merciful, forgiving. He cares. God understands. May I tell you, if you are, say you're a believer in God and you feel that God is disappointed in you, then you're worshiping the wrong God. Because that's not the God of the Bible. You are not serving God. You're serving yourself. And you're projecting your disappointment onto him. Sounds very psychological. It is. When we stumble, when we fall, when we make mistakes, he allows us to experience trials. Yes, we do. But it's in these moments that the God of the Bible is delighted in us. I cannot imagine the number of times God has laughed because of the things I've done and the things I've said in my life. Our kids say the funniest things, you know? They should do a TV show about that. No, they already did. My kids say the funniest stuff, and I can't imagine God doing the same thing with me, just laughing because of the things I say and the things I do. He loves us. He delights in us. This is what Zephaniah 3:17 says. The Lord your God is in your midst. He's here. He's amongst us. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. That's our God. That is the God we pray to. Now, wouldn't you want to be in his presence? Man, wouldn't you want to be around somebody like that? I love it. I bring that verse out every once in a while to remind me. This is who God is. He's among us. He's with us. He'll save us. He'll rejoice over me. He's glad over me. Many times when I'm not even glad over myself, he's glad over me. He'll quiet me by his love. Boy, I do need that sometimes. He'll calm my spirit with his love. He'll exalt over you. What does that mean? Oh, he's going to praise you. With what? Loud singing. I want to hear God sing, don't you? Don't you want to hear God sing? Oh yeah, I want to hear God sing. And he does it over us. See, we need to understand that our relationship with God is fundamental, fundamentally important to the power of prayer. When we pray, we're not praying to somebody who doesn't know us. We're praying to somebody who loves us, who exalts over us, who sings loudly over us, who finds joy in us. Yes, there are times, I tell you about my kids and some of the things they do, and they drive me crazy sometimes. But I love them. And I laugh over them. And I sing over them. And I comfort them with my love. When I discipline them, I take them in my arms and I comfort them with my love. That's God. That's our God. We need to understand he is Father. When we know that and how much he loves us, and not only that he thinks of us, but he thought about us even before we were conceived, before the foundations of the world, he thought about me. He thought about you. He planned your salvation. You're his child. He wants to be your father. And as we begin to understand that, that helps our relationship with Him grow, and it increases the power of our prayers. So the next time you're praying, don't just pray to some unknown entity out there who's far away. Pray to God who's sitting right next to you. Pour your heart out to Him because He loves you. He loves you. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Wow. That's powerful. The third fundamental is resource. So we have reverence, relationship, and resource. Now, I want you to think about this. If you're praying to God, wouldn't it be useless to pray to a God who did not have the ability to answer your prayers? You pray, you give a prayer to God, you pray out to Him, and you say, well, God, here's what I need you to do. Or, God, I'm struggling with this, I need your help. Lord, I need you to step in and help me with this. Granted, we are praising Him when we're before that. I'm not just saying we keep going to God saying, give me, give me, give me, give me. I'm just shortening it for the sermon. But I ask God for things that I feel that is His will, that He wants for me. And imagine Him saying, well, you know, we're out of that this week. You'll need to come back next week. I'm sorry, all circuits are busy. I mean, could you imagine getting that message from Him? No, because that's not our God. Our God has all the resources needed to answer our prayers beyond what we ask or what we imagine. We can pray with confidence. Paul is praying in Ephesians 3:16. He says that according to the riches of His glory. It's not just God's riches, but His glory that He answers our prayers with. Now, I know you're sitting here thinking, well, that means I can pray for anything, right? No. That doesn't mean you can pray for, Lord, please, I need $1 million. No. He's got it, and He could give it to you. But that wouldn't be good for us. Because part of the riches of His glory is His will. And His will for us is good. You know, there are a lot of things that people have told me over my life that I have not liked. That I despise. And I took it hard. But as I thought about them afterwards, and now I think about it, it's what I needed. God will provide your needs. He never said He'd provide everything you want, but He'll provide your needs, and He'll do it from the riches of His glory. It's the difference between, I don't want to belittle any store, but it's the difference between shopping at Dollar General and shopping at Macy's. There's nothing wrong with Dollar General. Believe me, we shop there all the time. But there is a difference in the level. God has great riches and He wants to bless us with them. He'll never run out of mercy, power, help, grace, love, everything we need. He's always going to have them. And He gives it to us lavishly. He pours out His blessing. He tells us at times that He'll pour it out to overflowing. He'll give you more than you could even think of. More than you could even ask for. He can do it. So we do it according to His resources. So what now? What does this all mean? Question is, how is your prayer life? I mean, do you approach God boldly and with confidence, knowing that He can answer it? Or do you come to Him with doubts? Doubts about yourself? Doubts about God? Doubts about what He could do? Doubts about what He can do through you? Oh, I'm nothing. God can't do anything with me. God can use all of us. God cares and He will answer your prayers. 1 John 5:14 through 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him. This is the confidence. This is John speaking. John, who was next to him at the communion, at the Last Supper. John, who stood at the cross and watched him die. John, who deserted him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And John says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. If we are talking to God and we know his will and we ask for things in his will, he will do it. It must be his will. No doubt about that. But if I know his will, and we can know his will, he will do it. He is our Father, and he wants to love us. Jesus was talking to the people. He says, if you then, he's talking about the Father. He says, if you then who are evil, and this is in Matthew 7:11, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, if I'm evil and I know how to give good gifts to my children, and I give good gifts to my children, how much more will your Father, who is not evil but is perfect, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? And he will give it from the abundance of his resources. Who of you, when your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? God wouldn't do that to us. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I want you to understand this. God will answer your prayers. Why? So that you will abound in every good work. If I ask God to strengthen me, to do his will, to do his work, it will happen. If I ask God to help me to be strong in him for his glory, to do the work he wants me to do, it will happen. If I ask God to help me be the spiritual leader of my home, to show my children what it means to be a man of God, praying and trusting in God, so that I can do good work through that, he will answer it and say yes. Why? Because he loves me and I'm doing the good work and doing his will. So as we pray, and as we are bold and confident God will answer our prayers according to his will, and his abundance, trust God to do it. That's the basics of powerful prayer. Knowing that what I'm praying for, God is going to do. And I do it in reverence with either my knee bowed, with either on my face, on the ground, or if nothing else, if I can't do that, with my heart bowed and my mind focused on God. Knowing that I have a relationship with the creator of the universe who loves me as a child. I am his. He's adopted me into his family. And he loves me as a child, no matter what I do. And that he will answer according to the resources of his glory. And he'll do it with more than I could ever ask for or I could ever imagine. That's my God. That's your God. Let's trust him. And let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that, number one, we can come to you boldly, but that we can come to you knowing that you will hear us and you will answer us. And you will give us, according to your riches, what we ask for. Lord, help us to know your will. And we can know your will by praying to you. Because you are great. You are mighty. You are loving, kind, compassionate, forgiving, long-suffering. and you long to give us good things. Father, my prayer for us, and I know this is your will, that we would be strong in the Lord, and that we would come to you in all circumstances, knowing, boldly knowing that you will answer us, boldly knowing that you love us. Help us to be people of prayer, confident in our Lord, confident, Lord, in you that have the ability to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.